help light candle and incense. 誒好啊，都夾啦，咪是一齊 offer 啦，哦 ，OK。Tonight we will stop earlier. Yeah, tomorrow I got a very early flight. Yeah. Sadhu, 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 sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu, 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 sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu, 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 sadhu.Sadhu, sadhu, 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 sadhu.Okay, thank you. You can be seated. So, we will develop the spiritual faculty to compose our mind. Develop the faith, sadha, then the spiritual zeal, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Then we will commence our vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Atinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Mithacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surarmiraya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina loka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina. Pujaye pujaniyantang puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe. Puje me Buddhang kusumena nena punena matena cha hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivasetu no bante. Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang Adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Then, significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can relax your body and mind. Then maintain some form of attention or attentiveness, then we will have a short meditation. Today, I have to stop earlier. We will stop at 10 p.m. Instead of the usual 10:30. Because tomorrow morning, I have to wake up early to go to airport. I have to leave for airport at 7 a.m. So we will have half an hour earlier ending of the session so that I can go back to have enough time to rest. Otherwise, it can be too late. Then the next morning, if it's too early, may not be so good. So anyway, I will have about 15 minutes of meditation instead of the usual half an hour. So now we are off the light. You just relax body and mind. Then, for those who really know how to meditate, you straight away start your meditation. For those who still need to train the mind, you do your training. So training of the mind can be done in many ways. If your spiritual faculty is still not there, means your mental hindrance are active. So you have to decondition your mental hindrance. To do that, you can use the mind sweeping method followed by metta. Then after it has calmed down, you need to stabilize this trained mind which is in sati and just aware. So to train this mind to have the stability of mindfulness, you need an object of meditation. And the one recommended by the Buddha is anapanasati. So anapanasati, you can use it to stabilize the mindfulness, leading to ever mindful, which is the first part of a heedful mind. Not until your mind is ever mindful most of the time throughout the day, it cannot develop the heedfulness to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is the training you need to do. Okay, now I have off the mic, then you all can develop the meditation or training of the mind. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who open up slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation, then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu
Atra Gacchantu Devata
Saddhammam
Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanam Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Chacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated, then we can continue with the Dhamma sharing. Before we continue, I think Sister Yip is here. You only need to send your email to this one, mykayanamita-subscribe@yahoogroup.com. This is the Yahoo group that Brother Sui An, they all, I think they registered. So you send the email there, all the email from my Kayanamita you will receive. So any Kayanamita who want to be connected to the mykayanamita@yahoo.com, you just have to send your email there. The moment you register, when I send it out, you will receive. But I don't know how to take your company one out. That one you had to ask here. Oh, remove already. You had to go to administrator to take it out. Okay, so your GlaxoSmith taken out. Okay. Our Chip's friend, what is his name? Lee Seng. You can send your email there. Then you will receive the Mykayanamita email. That's how we communicate. So all the recording, audio file, or whatever we want to share, we not only share on the WhatsApp, we will share on the Mykayanamita website. So you just have to forward one email address to that one. You can copy it down later. Okay, now we go open it up for reporting of meditation and question and answer session. You got any question related to meditation or the teaching, you can ask. And I can guide you and advise you. Just put up your hand. Anybody? yeah. Pass the mic to Mrs. Tan. Yes, just slide it to sideways.
Hi, yeah. Brother Teo.
Yes.
My meditation is still not stable yet, but
never mind. You just describe.
Yeah, I will know. Actually, have a question to ask.
Can, no problem.
I just read a book. The book's name called The Secret, and this book mentioned about the thoughts, and also you read what you saw, but there's one law of attraction always appearing in the books.
Oh,
so my question is, law of attraction and the law of nature, is the same meaning?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your good question. In fact, quite a number of Kayanamita, they always ask the same question many years ago. You told me you read from a book, is it? The Secret. Oh, I don't know that the book is called The Secret. Is it the normal spelling? S-E-C-R-E-T. You see, they talk about the law of attraction. Attraction. So it's a good way to discuss. What is your understanding of this law of attraction that they teach? Before I answer your question, what is the difference between this law of attraction and the nature's law? Yeah. No, just based on what you understand, don't worry. Nothing to do with right or wrong. Based on what you have right.
For my understanding good things attract good things, bad things attract bad things, something like that.
Basically, it's like that. They teach you how to use thought, understand? You must develop very strong determination of that thought. like you want to be successful, and that's all. You want to be wealthy. You want to be rich. He said, when you have that thought, then it will give rise to condition for you to be attracted to people who are also of that condition. That's why he said, when you have this thought, you will be attracted to those people that also wanted this. And my question is very simple. How does these people get to know this law? Yeah? How? They use the thought process. I don't know who is the founder. I don't know. The thought process. It's something like if there is a will, there is a way, and so on. They use willpower. If you use willpower, you don't need to have this law. You determine strongly. But the danger of this is good or bad also will come. If you use your willpower. The user of thought is very powerful. That's why the Buddha said, our thought is the forerunner of all things. When thought arises, or the mundane mind arises, everything arises. So when you understand that your mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is chief, you have to take care of mind. That's the big difference between the Buddha's teaching and this type of so-called teaching in inverted comma. You have to be careful. The attraction of this type of sharing and teaching is they can make you successful. You believe in it yourself, you believe in that, and you pursue it. But this one, they do it without the complete understanding because they didn't cover the part on law of karma. So nature's law is different. Nature's law, especially the law of karma. Law of karma is one of the nature's law. This one also I have to explain. You know, there was one Kayanamita. I think it's Padmasuri, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, I remember now. Because she at first cannot differentiate between law of karma and nature's law. She thought it's the same. But I say law of nature cover a lot of law, the Panchaniyama, the five great order. And law of karma is only one of the law. Understand that? You can follow. So this one quite easy to understand. Nature's law means this one is moral causation. This one also involves the thought. That's why it involves the mental intention behind the thought. Mental intention. So according to the Buddha, because this law of karma recognizes relationship, recognizes whatever thought you arise. But the mental intention behind is very important, the Buddha said. He called this cetana in Pali. C-E-T-A-N-A. This is mental intention. So in the Dhamma book, sometimes you hear this word sankara. Then they give a lot of definition. Especially mental volition. Mental volition is voluntary mental intention. It's a volition. So the Buddha said, it's cittena that I call karma. When there is no mental intention, there is no karma. That's why the wise one, the enlightened one, they act without mental intention. They act spontaneously. Spontaneous action without the self. They act according to understanding and wisdom. There is no intention. Conditioned like that, they act like that. So when you act according to understanding or wisdom, that is true action. Whereas acting according to memory is not acting at all, because your memory is not based on wisdom and understanding, like I explained before. Memory is the accumulation of all your experiences in life, good and bad. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your fear, your scars of memory, your phobia, whatever that haunt you or make you excitable or happy moments of your life or miserable moments. So you accumulate all this as memory. And when you accumulate them, you create your own suffering. Because through this accumulation, you will develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Well, you act according to memory. And memory is all this rubbish. The duality of thought process. So this duality, the conditioning, your views and the opinion that is behind this memory, this one cannot act. Because the moment you act out of memory, means you are acting out of your own views and opinion of things. You are acting out of your own selfishness, your greediness, your fear, your insecurity, your phobia. And these are all based on evil root. That's why when you act according to that, you're not acting at all. It means you don't understand the Dhamma. You don't understand nature's law that governs life and existence. So the Buddha say, the use of thought is very important. The use of thought is the ultimate use of thought. Because like I explained before last time, thought is neither evil or good. Just like money. Money. Or technology. Technology. So if you act using your thought process without understanding, then whatever you use to act, it can be your thought process, it can be money, it can be technology or what. If the user is deluded, evil, without wisdom, without understanding, then thought becomes evil. That is the nature's law. This is law of karma. And what constitutes evil? The evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The other one is money, same. When the use of money is evil, money becomes evil. Technology is the same. You cannot blame technology and money for what happened to the world, for all the problems that you encounter in this society of ours. So what is lacking under this law of attraction is they didn't understand the real nature's law. They only understand part of it. They understand that if you use your willpower, you can be successful. Of course you can be successful. Because the saying used to go, if there is a will, there is a way. So they teach you how to arise all this very positive thinking. You must understand the big difference between positive thinking and in this case, it's not like that. Positive thinking and right thought. Understand? Right thought is not positive thinking. You know the difference, huh? Right thought means accordance with law karma. Whereas positive thinking is according to who? Like you say, do good. According to who? Good according to you, what is it not? Good according to what you believe in this flow. But this flow is not tested. They only come to understand if you use it, many people have this type of experience. So I can tell you. They give you a lot of very, very gullible example, or very like you feel like, wow, it's so beautiful. They tell you a lot of example of how people become successful, because they say if you have this right thought, as oriented right thought, positive thinking, you believe you can be rich, you keep on having that thought, that wealth will come to you, then this positive thought will attract the condition for wealth to come to you. And you will be attracted to people of the same mental thought process. So it's like, if you want to be wealthy, you have to think like a wealthy fellow. You understand? You understand? Yeah? The wealthy people, they got a few attributes, understand? What does a wealthy people has that the non-wealthy one don't have? No, they become generous later. Initially, they don't have this one. And most of these wealthy people, they have very good karma. They have very good dana parami. And they don't know it comes from this law of karma. So what they do is they come out with the signs. They say, sometimes I also share this with you all. You see, the poor, unsuccessful people, their thought process is very negative. So in a way, you will think, hey, this is true. This law of attraction is true. Negative means what? You tell these two people, these two type of people, one is destined for success. You say, you don't have to worry, even you cannot study. You can be successful in life. You learn how to invest. Invest your money. Invest in stock market. Or invest in currency and all those things. So what happened to the unsuccessful people? You know what they will tell you? Forget about it, not for me. I don't have that type of karma, they say, or mia. 我没有那种命, means he don't have the luck one. Whereas the one that is destined for big thing, you know what they say? I got nothing to lose. I am already like that. Understand? No harm giving it a try. Worst case scenario is what? I don't make it. Then I try another idea. So this is one of the difference. But they don't know behind the underlying success is always law of karma. When you have this generosity parami which you have done in the past, this life you come, you will receive them. But when he received them, he has this type of, I should say, the character of a successful person that can become wealthy is because of that karmic thing. So what you can try to do is, like a lot of people, they try to think like the wealthy, the successful. Yeah, just like Brother Teo said, why not I give it a try? Then you read this book, The Secret. He said, don't try. Keep on having that thought. I will be wealthy. I will be wealthy. I want to be wealthy. I want to be successful. Means positive thinking. So this positive thinking is very, very dangerous. Nothing wrong if you don't have any selfishness, greediness, and delusion. But when you have selfishness, greediness, and delusion, you go overboard. Positive according to you, not according to nature's law. So what you do is, by hook or by crook, by all means, you just want to be successful. Of course, when you keep on thinking positive thought, a lot of positive things will come your way. But if you get it through evil means, means not knowing this law of nature, which is law of karma, your mental intention behind is not pure, then the user of this thought process, the willpower, is evil. And that one have karmic consequence. That's the only major difference. So it's the same as what I explained to this Singaporean friend. I haven't met him for about 5 or 6 years. But the wife, I haven't met for more than 10 years, I think, about 10 years. I think he and the wife went with us in the year 2007 to Potosan. You know that Chua, the wife is Jake. Can you remember? Singaporean. First time joined us in the trio. And they were so happy, you know, because they never had this type of spiritual trip with so much Dhamma and all those things. You know. Then the husband, a few months earlier, and they were very good friend of Yun Chan. So Yun Chan contacted me and said, "But are you free or not?" That time I had to go to China, see Yan with my wife. I said, "I won't be free, maybe next window." Then recently, he came down. Then he contacted me again through Yun Chan. I said, "Yeah, I'm free. I'm flying tomorrow." So we met today for lunch. The first trip when he came, he said he came for a conference. So I asked Yun Chan, "Oh, good. What type of conference?" "Oh," he said, "fortune telling one. You know, the famous Joey Yap. Oh, I said, "Yeah, feng shui. Sorry, not fortune telling, feng shui." Then he told Yun Chan, "Wow, this feng shui thing is fantastic." He said, "I attended the seminar. It's very good." And honestly, I haven't met him that time. I only heard from Yun Chan. Then I said, "Oh, okay. Then deep inside, my nature told me what, no? If he continues to neglect the Dhamma, he will be attracted to all these things. And that is also the law of attraction. But in a way where these people don't understand what? Because of what? Gullible. Greed. Then today I met him. Luckily he asked me, you know, he got a good karma. You know, he straight away asked me, "Brett, you heard of this Yoyi Yap or not?" I said, "Yeah, I heard of him." He said he gave a seminar on this, they call feng shui thing. "What do you think, Brett?" He asked me that question. I said, "It depends on how you understand it. You understand it, yeah? From the Dhamma point of view, then there is not much meaning." Wow, he straight away like, "Cannot be." He told me, "Brett, it's very different. They told me, he said, your feng shui is very important. Even the location where you bury your deceased is very important. It can affect your future generation and all those things." "Oh," I said, "I thought you know the Dhamma," I asked him. He said, "Yeah, there's one part I cannot reconcile," I said. "They never talk about law of karma," I said. And then very simple, is that the answer? If you do all the feng shui thing and don't take care of karma, I ask you a very simple question. Will it change your life? Because the main cause is this. The Buddha said, you are born of your karma. Not only you, all of living beings. Heir to your karma. Condition is supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. And you someone neglect this and want to go and do all those things. And you have to pay a lot. And every time you do, maybe initially, yeah, successful, because you're very positive in your mindset, understand? You have faith, you believe. Then, after a while, sooner or later, your bad luck comes, understand? Then you go and ask. They say, your feng shui no good already, now change already. They got the 60-year cycle. They say, you must change your house layout. Your door must put this direction down. Your altar, all they ask you to shift. And all this is money, consultancy. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying bad things about feng shui. I told you feng shui got a science behind. There is some science behind. But when you understand the Dhamma, you won't become gullible. If you take care of this, you don't have to worry about feng shui, I told him. Then I gave him the example that I used to tell my mother. And then he started to understand. I said, my family, my mother, my father, they both father and mother, they are the only one, only sibling that came over to Malaysia. The rest of my parents, their brother, sister, all in China. They were stuck there during the 50s, the 60s, and miserable. Then I say, your feng shui, that's feng shui, and their forefathers' feng shui is the same in there. Because your grandparents, they died in China. How come same feng shui supposed to bless everybody? How come you are the only two that came out? And like my mother said, it's like out of hell or samsara, I say. The moment he's out of China, I say, he's out of the suffering world, my mother told me. Then how come they all got caught there? Then she looked at me. She said, they're one different. We make the decision to come out. Okay, you say they're one different. Eh? Maybe you have a point. But the second one, you cannot deny. My mother gave birth to 10 of us. No? One, she gave away. I say, same parents, same locality, same environment, everything same. How come all your 10 children, some very tall, some very short, some very hairy, some no hair, some can study very well academically, some completely cannot study, standard 6 also fail, form 3 also fail. Then some spiritually very, very beautiful, then some spiritually completely nothing. Why? Then she looked at me. He said, yeah, how come like that? Yeah, I got a youngest brother whom my mother always tell me, if only he can change over to a better person, she will be the happiest mom in this world. My father also told me the same thing. He said, that was the one, the only one that made her worry. Because all her children were very successful. Then I said, all this is coming. Now you understand. Then only she has the faith. Now, after my father died, another incident which I relate before you listen to the tape. Then only she starts to understand filial piety and all those things is when your parent is still alive, not until they die, then you cry. No point. You have to do while they are still around. And the filial piety is from your heart, sincere heart, your love for them, your gratitude towards them. You appreciate what they have done for you. And all this has this karmic support behind. So when I explain all this, then I explain the other one is the junction house that I stayed last time in SS2 during the early day before I bought my house in 1987. I stayed in a junction house in the year 85 to 87. You know junction, it's a flow path for energy, I told him. So all the feng shui people will tell you avoid junction house. True or not? You heard of it, isn't it? I say I stay in a junction house, I get promoted. A lot of things go my way. I was like very lucky. How come? Then he said, yeah, how come? This is very rare, you know, isn't it? I say because if you have a lot of negative karma, you stay in junction house, you sure get into big trouble. Yeah, it's a flow path of all the energy, qi. They call qi, good and bad all come. The good one, you don't have the parami to receive, understand? You understand? Yeah? Saum heya in Cantonese. So the good karma, the good qi that support the good thing, for big thing to happen, you don't have the karmic condition to receive. That's why you don't receive. But when it comes to negative qi that condition your negativity, to condition your negative karma, you got a lot, understand? That's why a lot of people cannot stay in junction house. They get into big trouble. we got one university mate who stayed in Junction Hall, get into big trouble. He was an electrical engineer, then he joined a merchant bank. He bought a Junction House somewhere in Taman, I don't know, Mega or Mayang, I forgot. Then get into a lot of trouble. His career, he worked for a merchant bank, then get into trouble. Then he came out and worked for one corporate guy, that corporate guy also get into trouble. That's a lot of things went wrong. But later on, I think he came out of it. Yeah. So you have to understand, everything has to do with karma. It's not like feng shui, where you stay. If you don't take care of karma, no matter what feng shui, you are going to be in trouble. But if you take care of karma without feng shui, I never believe in feng shui, I never do anything about that. My life was beautiful, perfect. It's all because the true one is this one. This is the one that affects your life. If you don't take care of this, you go and take care of other things. You will get into trouble. So this law of attraction, at least, is not so bad. It's much better in the sense that it teaches you positive thinking. Then, if you have this positive thinking, it will attract you to people of the same type of thinking. Then the positive thinking, you believe you can be successful, wealthy, you will do well, you will pass your exam, it's like a confident faith. You keep on having this positive thinking until it becomes like your habitual tendency. So when you are very positive, you are very confident, you will tend to do well because you believe in yourself and are self-confident. This is part of the mundane spiritual faculty. I use the word mundane spiritual faculty. But the faith is not complete. Not faith in the Buddha and his teaching, understanding the teaching completely. But faith in oneself, that is self-confident. It already helps you a lot. Then when you have positive thinking, it will lead to that type of confidence in you. Then when you strive on, not with heedfulness, strive on with your willpower, your determination to be successful. Determination to be successful. To be successful. Then you will be successful. But how you do it is very important. If you apply the Dhamma without evil root, you are beautiful. If you don't apply the Dhamma, you can get into trouble. That's why the Buddha taught the four bases of success. You heard of it, didn't I? Last Thursday, I think I shared them in there. I wrap it off already. Anybody can remember the four bases of success? Chanda is the first one. Chanda. Yes. This is your passion, love. Your very strong interest. You have passion in anything. You will work towards it. You will go all out to do it. That's why this one can bring about success. Second one is virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity. Virya. It is like an energy that drives you. It is a determination that drives you because you actually see the importance of it. You love doing this. You believe in it strongly. That's why virya will come. Then the next one is they use their thought, citta, which is the same. Thought. Spiritual zeal. Or tenacity. Last one, vimansa. This one they don't have. This one is investigation. You have to investigate into it. You have to understand it. that this is for the good of the many, that you will have to determine to go and experience it and try it and find out for yourself how you can become more and more successful after that. So these first four bases of success is for mundane thing initially, but it can lead to spiritual success. From this, you go to the five spiritual faculty. That's why the 37 factors of enlightenment, they have this first four. This is supposed to be the talk I supposed to deliver in Klang last Friday, but because of Vesak, they cancel it. I think we'll move it on to the next month, Friday talk. So if you apply these four, you can become successful. But the last one, based on Dhamma. So these first three is what they use in the law of attraction. But they don't understand the law of karma. This is the one that determines your life. If you don't take care of this, if you don't have generosity, parami, it's very difficult for you to have wealth. Even if you get it, you will lose it. It will be lost through some other ways or means. Sometimes it can be lost to nature's disaster, like fire, water, flood, and all those things, or robbery, looted by people. Because this is your karmic inheritance. If you get this money through evil means in the past, you rob people, you deceive people, you cheat people. Then when you have this money, you do dana parami. You also believe in what people say, hey, before you die, you do a lot of, they call what, yam chap siya, in Cantonese. In English, what you call? A lot of evil things. You better chik fok, means plant some good karmic seed. Do something good to lessen your negativity or karma. So they go and do offering, merits. So in future when you come, because you do dana parami, you will get this money again, but through evil means again. Then you will lose it. And when you lose it, you become miserable. It's just like when you rob people, when you do all those things to people. Then people will, through nature's law, will take it away from you. So action based on wisdom is very important. Not action based on all this greed for success. Not wanting to know the actual Dhamma behind. If you have this greed for success, because the book is so convincing. Yeah. But please don't get me wrong, I am not trying to criticize it. I'm trying to make it more perfect. Because if you incorporate the law of karma and make sure you act in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path, you will have all the success and you will become beautiful. And these four bases of success will help you. Okay? Does that answer your question? We should thank her for the good question. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
There's a very famous Hong Kong Feng Shui master.
Oh, okay.
And he was hired to go to Guangzhou to go and pick a place for
the pass the mic. Otherwise, not recorded. Thank you. Both the name and the title of the Mosia, you use this mic.
Yeah, just telling Brother Teoh, I just sent an article to him. And what happens was, I think that was about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a very famous Hong Kong Feng Shui master, and he was hired to go to Guangzhou to pick a burial site for the family. I think a very rich family. So I think he has just finished the job. He has picked one place that is perfect according to the article. The vibrations are good. Everything is very good. And he said, you must bury the family here. there were seven of them. Then immediately after he said that, there was a landslide in a couple of seconds later, you know, and six of them were killed, including the Feng Shui master. So
he were buried there.
So he don't even know what will happen to him, you know, but yet he can tell people that, you know, you should bury here. You know, that.
So don't be gullible. You want to believe in that, it's up to you. I got no comment. But if I were you, I won't waste money on such thing. I will take care of karma, no need money. You only have to have a good mind. And this is the ultimate nature's law that governs all of life and existence, nothing else. The Buddha make it very clear in the five daily contemplation. He said, we are all, not only you, every living being, we are born of our karma. Heir to your karma. Conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma, every moment, every instant. You're somehow the one to take care of karma. I don't know why you cannot understand this truth. If I know that my life depends so much on karma, I will want to understand what is karma. I will take care of karma. Karma is what? Do good because good. Do evil because evil. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. That's why the teaching is so beautiful. The meditation, as taught by the Buddha, that leads you out of all suffering is what? Noble Eightfold Path. And what is Noble Eightfold Path? It's the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good. All the path factor is to avoid all evil, do good. Then finally, Samasati and Samasamadhi is to purify the mind and develop wisdom. If you don't have this, you cannot cope with life. You will have big problem. So it's very simple, very clear cut. So a lot of people who don't have the understanding, they become gullible. They believe in many things. Sometimes they even believe in the fortune teller. Not to say there is no science behind fortune telling. There are signs. Even feng shui, there are signs. Because man and nature, you must harmonize. So within nature, there is this formation of the landmass, the water element and all those things. Then feng shui is wind and water. Understand, huh? Is the flow of qi following these four elements. The formation will determine certain flow. But then our planet is round, rotating on its axis, moving in space and time, every moment, every instant. It is in a state of flux. It's never static. So what is feng shui? How can it be static? It's never static. Then the Buddha also talked about planetary influences. You remember? When you do the Pali chanting? Because all these, they have an effect on each other. That's why it is called the interdependence. The nature's law. The law of karma together with the physical law, biological law, mental law, and the law of truth within nature. They all interact and interact. So this planetary influence, they are real. Like our moon. Do you realize that? When you go through the Choyat Sam, you remember? How did the Chinese people know that the high tide will come? Every time is correct one. Because the moon will be nearest during that time. Then the pool of our earth, which is six times larger than the moon, then it will cause the our this water, 3/4 of our ocean, 3/4 of our earth's surface is filled with water. So this mass is fluid. So the gravity between these two in physics, you would have studied. It will cause a pull. then this water mass will actually be slightly different. That's how the tide come about, the tidal, the wave, and all those things. And this movement is a energy, is a chi. Then sometimes coupled with the physical law, the tectonic plate slide or gets the movement, it triggers tsunami. That's why it will happen. Then law of karma come in. That's why all this pancha niyama, they can take full effect. So all this have an influence over you. Then what did the Buddha teach you under the Pali chanting? Invoke what? The power of Murri, the power of the triple gem, understand or not? That's why you chant. Sabetiyo viva jantu envyano. Sabbarogo vinasatu. Mate pawa tuantarayo. Sukidigayo. And all those things. Then, pawatu sabbamangalang rakantu sabbadevata sabbabuddhanu pavina. Then Dhamma, Sangha, by the power of triple gem. If you don't have karma, you don't take care of your life, you don't have affinity with triple gem, you cannot avoid all this. Do you understand? Yeah. So the teaching is very complete. And you don't have to waste money on all those things. You don't have to be gullible. You must have understanding. Then your life will be beautiful, perfect. No need to buy anything. Even my own marriage, I don't know whether I relate to you or not. You got a tai kam che there. You know what she said? When you walk out of your house, must not step on the front door and the moon kwang. Like you go in the temple, you say you must leave your leg over. Understand? You remember the Mahayana? I purposely step in front for her to see. I say, you don't take care of karma. All this got no meaning. This is superstition. What has that got to do with my life? Just because I step on it. Ah, you're crazy. And this is what they believe. And they very pantang. My mother was so worried at that time. I say, Mom, you don't worry. You know my life, I said. By then, I already an engineer also, you know. And I do think different from people. I blow flute also the other way around, opposite of the normal convention. Because, like I used to tell you, whatever that appear to be the truth, is the exact opposite of the truth. We use the word, what was it? Whatever that is, like mundane people think is the truth. No, that one is Mandarin. This is an English word. I always use that word one. Logical. The word logical is most of the time opposite of the truth. Logical to living being. But the truth is the other way around. When you talk about impermanent, they say, no, I got impermanent, need money, you know, wealth, no, I can have it, no. Why you say all this is not important? And you some more say impermanent. Not real. Then give to me, they will tell you. But they don't understand. They are impermanent because they are dependent originating condition arising, causal phenomena, like your own form and mind. Even this is not you. How can you own anything and have anything? But there is such thing as life. That's why you must have the wisdom to use this form and mind to live life. And if the user of this form and mind has wisdom, you become beautiful. You will take care of your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. Then when you come, you are always beautiful. Your form and mind is always beautiful. You come complete with all those understanding and parami. And you have that karmic nature and spiritual nature that is so rewarding and so beautiful. That is what the teaching is all about. To have that understanding, to build up this understanding so that when you come, You are beautiful. Otherwise, why must you come? If you come with delusion, you will suffer like anything. You will get yourself into trouble, deep trouble. Oh, before I forgot, who is the my career mentor, J.K. Wong? Who is he? Oh, he not bad, no. He replied to me after I said no. Well, I realized the link doesn't work. Miss Lee Dropbox expired. Then I also came to know the 44th lesson also missing. So today I sent to him. He must have listened to it. He was chasing it like Alicia last night. And you know what she replied? He replied, I read to you. A very beautiful reply. Means he have the understanding. He has a lot of gratitude. Okay. J.K. Wong. He's a big sadhu for sending this sutta, lesson number 45. And the sutta, lesson 44, is superb. Instead of superb, he put supper. S-U-P-P. Yeah, 44, fantastic. Then he say, through understanding the law of nature and merits, this nature of mind have acquired from the distant past until now, he make this vow. I don't know whether she or he. May I have your understanding and penetrative insight of the pure Dhamma that you realize, Brother Theo. Oh, it's a man, Brother Wong, is it? From Brother Wong. See? He make this type of aspiration, no? Whatever that he has cultivated from the distant past, you know. He just want to have that type of same understanding and penetrative insight. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why for people who really have the passion, when they see the importance, this saddha will build up. From chanda, you become saddha. Then the virya will drive you. Then you determine through aspiration, using power of merit. It will arise the causes and conditions. That's why to walk the bodhisattva way to realize Buddhahood is not difficult. You have to plant the seed of bodhi to determine through aspiration to walk this way. You have to do it sincerely. Then you have to have faith. Then after that, just do. Persevere. Don't ask questions. Do. It will unfold. It's very, very simple, actually. Not difficult. Then today, that Singapore Charles, oh, he was so grateful after he talked to me. Oh, when I reached this point, only he agreed. After I explained those first three or four things about the feng shui thing, he sort of have a little bit of understanding, but there is still doubt behind him, I know. But he still believe in that talk. The feng shui talk that was so beautiful. Then I said, okay, now you listen. I said, the user of thought, the user of money, the user of technology. Because he asked me, feng shui got any basis or not? I said, God, it has its science. It's part of the nature's law of utu niyama, physical law of nature. Just like this law of attraction. Because it's part of that law, so these are scientific things, mechanical things, mundane things. The user behind this is very important. Even feng shui is the same, thought is the same, money is the same, technology is the same. If the user is deluded, I say, that thing that you use become evil. Oh, he straight away agreed, you know, when he heard about money, thought, and technology. Oh, he said, now I understand. He said, yeah, still must take care of karma. After that, I know he's okay back already. Then I said, I will give you some books. Then after that, my wife went back to my house and gave him some book. And he wrote to me. He thanked me so much. He was so grateful. I read to you. The WhatsApp just came today after the lunch. Remember to stop me at 10. Okay. He said, "Thank you so much, Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo, for making time to meet and your gift of the various Dhamma book. I enjoyed the brief chat with you. Both Jack and I are also very happy with the renewal of our friendship. Hope to see you again in Singapore or KL in the near future. Regards, Chua." His name is Chua. So he has his good condition and his good karma. He was, in a way, very sincere. After that trip, he keep on trying to contact me and my wife. You know, after the Putosan trip 2007, that was 10 years ago. Then those few years, he was very keen to meet us. Then I promised him I would go down to Singapore to see him. And when we were there, he took care of us so well. He took us to so many places of good food. All the good food. And he made sure every meal is a different place. That time I remember I went with Yun Chan Raymond. So because of what happened, he has a lot of gratitude. Then that was the parami and condition for him to have this condition. That's why today, like, everything fall into place now. I didn't intend to talk about this or mention about it. It just happened. Then when he came for the lunch, we arrived earlier. Then he insists, "I must sit near to Brother Teo. He got a few things to chat with me." Is it to catch up and all those things? Then it just fall into place. Everything just happened. That's why you must have affinity, parami, and good condition. Then the Dhamma will unfold. Everything will unfold. You only need to have this faith, sincerity, and just follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all you do good. Purify your mind. Means keep the Noble Eightfold Path. Act according to Noble Eightfold Path. Have right view leading the right thought, right speech, right action, and the right livelihood. Then the four right effort, constantly purify. Then train your mind to be ever mindful. Sama, sati, leading to samadhi. Then you will awaken. You will be beautiful. Where this sasana is so easy to awaken, really. That word is not an overstatement. It's really easy to awaken. It's not difficult. You only need to have faith. The faith will drive you. My second part of the transcript on the Bodhisattva vow, I finished it, but I have not go through it one round. When I come back, I will check through, then I will send it out. This one, Bang Yu, the first one, will be very complete. And I share quite a few things inside there too. How to walk this path and how to develop the condition and how through this understanding you can become very beautiful. Okay. Oh, another 10 minutes. Any question? Any more question or meditation report? Ingbi. Yes. Well, today we cover quite a lot.
Right, just now you were mentioning this window is very easy to get awakened.
What
is exactly Ratio's mean by awakening is so easy in this window, and then does it is there any connection with this Bodhisattva vows?
Yes, yeah, that is you. The one that will take you along. It will do the work for you. That's why you wait till this second part come out. It explains very clearly how the vow and aspiration can bring forth the condition. Then not only that, after that, once you planted that understanding and make that firm adhitana or aspiration, in future when you come, even without the sasana, you will still have this nature awakening. You will have this understanding. You want to have this right view, right understanding. And this is how you can progress very fast and awaken very fast. You can receive truth very fast when you come. It's like mind-to-mind transfer. You only need truth, then it connects, then it awakens, then it will have the realization. Because without all this, it's very difficult. And I realize most of the Kayanamita, when sasana no more, you all get lost for a long period. Then you know what happened after you get lost. You got a lot of funny karmic obstruction and all those things accumulated. But because of what you had done during the sasana, when the sasana arises again, you have that condition. You are given one more chance, that window. Then you get, because the parami you are to this life is fantastic, I tell you. But you don't know how to make use of it to determine to have those understandings so that life after life you come, it will follow you through your vows. If you don't make that vow, it will not happen. Then when no more sasana, you don't know what happened to your former mind. And you can get lost very easily because living being before the what they call understanding become very stable, they become gullible very fast. So this understanding not only guarantee what you can accomplish this life, it will also guarantee the future so that whenever you come, you will not fall anymore. Because when you fall, when you come, even this life, you realize not a lot of kayamita, you all have your past, your parami, but yet there are coming obstructions. A lot of them still got to do, even like Song, you look at him, after that he penetrates so far, but yet, because of many lives teaching people the wrong thing, that coming obstruction need to be broken, or do away with. That's why when he started to ask for forgiveness, then it happened. The faith must be there. The right view must be there. All this. Then to answer your first part of the question, is, I say this sasana is very easy. It's because this sasana, there are a lot of great beings. Then this great being who has this understanding, the teaching, that's why my life, this segmental life, this life here, is to pass on this understanding because the website also came at the nick of time so that all these are recorded. Then with the transcript which will come out soon, I tell you, this way will flower like anything. Well, this is what has been forgotten. Those great beings that have walked this way before, only they know to use all this. If you don't have this understanding, you can make all the aspiration. It may not punyang kamena. Not to say the Buddha teach are no good, it's very good, but not strong enough, understand? But that one is for sainthood way. Sainthood way enough. Somehow you will clear. But if you want to go this the long way, the Bodhisattva way, you have to have the four basic vows. And the four basic vows are so different. First is to arise the love and compassion, the pure mind to come back. That's why you make the first vow to liberate all beings. That is love and compassion. Without this pure mind, once you become enlightened, arahant and beyond, you cannot come back. There is no form and mind for you to come back. But when you have this vow, you can come back with love and compassion. Then to help you do this work, you have to take the second vow. you had to endure, cultivate the wisdom to endure and severe all suffering. Without wisdom, you cannot endure and severe all suffering. If you yourself cannot severe all suffering and endure suffering through wisdom, how can you liberate beings? How can you take them across? Do you understand? When you can do this to endure and severe, you are cultivating renunciation. You renounce the phenomenal world. You renounce the form of mind. You renounce everything that is impermanent. Everything that is not real. That's why the second basic vow is very powerful. Then after that, you have to perfect the wisdom, perfection of wisdom. You have to not only understand, you have to penetrate all dharmas. Means you have to realize the perfection of wisdom, prajnaparamita. Without this perfection, you cannot actually do the work of a bodhisattva to help living beings. Because living beings are so different, understand? Everyone is so different, their condition is so different, their karmic inheritance is so different. Their condition is so different. How can you advise or help when you don't have this type of perfection or wisdom? That's why you need to have all this understanding. Then once you have that, you will be beyond the third stage of Bodhi mind development. Then you can renounce samsara and perfect the 10 perfection to realize Sammasambuddhahood, the samay, the consummate manifestation of the enlightenment of a Sammasambuddha. Yeah, Amy, yeah.
Sorry,
right? Yeah. No, okay. Yeah. Yes. Two, 3 minutes, no problem.
Can one after have realized at least first or second sainthood, they only go for bodhisattva's vow instead of
No problem. But the problem is you take it too late. Sometimes you don't know. From sotapan, straight away you become arahant without you knowing it because of your parami, because of your affirmation. Then the moment it happened, this one becomes so still. Then you like don't want to do anything. Because to the arahant, they know all these are not real. It's still not a waste. That is still a very, very great realization. But that is their choice. Because after that, you got no more condition. But if you have this condition, what have you got to lose? It's just like taking your precept, except this precept is being taken with understanding. Instead of just the 5 precepts to avoid evil and do good, now you develop the ennobler to take across all living beings. But you make that vow with understanding means there is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living being. And you don't worry, wow, how long it takes. All this is from the thought. Nasana. That nature got no time, timeless. The form and mind is not you. That's why when you renounce samsara, the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development, all this is nonsense already, the thought. No such thing. It's the thought that have fear. Fear what? It's going to take very long. And this is what people tell you. And these people who say all this, I tell you, their karmic obstruction is going to be very, very heavy. People want to go the noble way just because you want more people to go side you or be like you. Then you go and tell people all this. You remember at the retreat, one of the brothers from Penang? He was so agitated, I don't know what happened to him. You remember?
Oh. One more thing is from the Paritta chanting, there are 28 Buddhas.
28 that one Buddhas is what Sammasambuddha Sakyamuni have come across. That's why he asked you to chant them.
So maybe my understanding could be wrong. If there are only 28 Buddhas from the record, so called.
No, it's not from the record. Is these are the Buddha that he has affinity with. Understand? That's why he wants you to chant them.
I mean, There are so many bodhisattva. There should be more than 28 Buddhas
in
the record.
It's much, much more.
But there's record showing the proof.
God, you read the Mahayana Sutta. Mahayana Sutta. Jinkang Jing also has, but Jinkang Jing are not so clear. You go and read Vimalakiti Sutta. He already told you he alone met 90 million. Samasambuddha. You heard of that before. Vimalakiti Sutta, yes. And Diamond Sutta, he said the Samasambuddha are more than all the grains of the sand in the Ganges and the 3,000 world system. That's why you don't go and allow all these things to influence you. Because what is being chanted, even you have in the Mahayana chanting, how many four? The Pasupa four. I know, that one is chanted by Mahayana. Understand or not? The Wu Ping Ching Se there. So you think the sutta say 88 means 88 only. Kuan Yin alone got so many manifestations, but he compiled all those great manifestations when she come, the 84, into Ta Pei Zhou. Yes! Countless. And Nibbana cannot be filled up, understand? Because it's the unconditioned. That's why without this understanding, your thought will tell you a lot of things because you read too much. Then the thought will keep on reasoning, one logic. Understand? Logic can only be useful when there is wisdom. When there is no wisdom, don't use logic, because the user of logic is still deluded. But the moment you have the understanding, I tell you, it's completely not what you think. That's why those who haven't gone through this path, it's like I used to share with you, after Form 3, you finish your exam, you say enough already. Then people tell you, hey, you got Form 5, you know, got Form 6, you know, got university, you know, got master degree, you know, got PhD. You say, God, haven't heard of. That's how people get limited. And our civilization is very primitive. You haven't come across the great civilization of the Golden Age. That time you will come to know their living being, the consciousness, all different. Like the world of Vimalakiti. You know that world system is inner. All are bodhisattvas. The Sakyamuni Buddha got mentioned, there are certain world systems, minimum 5 precepts, minimum 8 precepts. But he never talked about the whole world is full of all bodhisattva. Vimalakiti, that world. Can. Never mind, it's okay. We all got conditions.
Go for this bodhisattva vow. Can we put the first four basic vow to be the last, the number four? We can, no need to follow the sequence, right?
You don't have to.
Yeah.
But you see, the aspiration to have that understanding, life after life to come, is the right view that Sakyamuni Buddha teach. And now you make vow and affirm it so that it create the condition for you to have this understanding life after life. But to do this, you have to plant the seed of bodhi with very strong faith and determination and understanding, invoking power of merits and parami, so that it's firmly planted. And this is what you want. That's why chanda, that passion, that determination, then that faith becomes unshakable. Then it's planted. After it's planted, you don't have to worry already. Because it will manifest. Whether got sasana or no sasana, you will know how to walk this way. With this nature, whatever condition, whatever truth, the moment it arises, you will connect. Then you will go back to this gateway. Then after that, without sasana also, you know how to cultivate. And this is why that path can become so different. And the four basic vow, you must not underestimate its potency and power. Those are the vow that will take you along. the path of Buddhahood. The Bodhisattva way can only be tread upon with the four basic vows. Without this, you cannot. The first vow is to have the love and compassion to come back. Understand? Even after you become Arahant, well, that love and compassion has to be there. Then the second vow is to have the capability to liberate beings. You cannot free yourself, you cannot free others. You cannot severe endure all suffering. Every life you come, you have big problem. Then after that, you have to complete the training of wisdom. You have to realize and penetrate all Dharma. Not only realize and become enlightened, penetrate all Dharma means perfection of wisdom. Much more. Because all the various karmic conditions, you understand. That's the reason why you can ask me, why this life I can share and teach to so many different people. And all of you, I don't know you all. But from the way you come, and from the way you develop your understanding or whatever obstruction, this nature will know very likely in the past what you all have done. That's why you got no psychic, nothing. No need, because this is wisdom, understanding. And understanding, nobody can teach you. It's the nature that has that understanding. Without that understanding, it's limited. I can only continue to share with you the limited Dhamma. But to understand every living being like Sammasambuddha is not easy. Not easy. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Then the last vow. Of course, you can wait very long. That one take a long time to fulfill. But the first three is very important because it will take you along. Wait till the transcript come out. It explains clearly to you how it takes you along and how from there the 10 perfection can be cultivated. After you finish the third one, you almost home already. No more regression. The Bodhisattva also will not fall anymore. Otherwise, Bodhisattva also can fall. You think Bodhisattva cannot fall? Like Sun Yan Fasu say, the one that has the most precept to break is the Bodhisattva. Where they come to the world so often. Understand? It doesn't mean you take that vow you cannot break. You still break because when you come as a former mind, before you connect, before you inherit everything, you can still make mistakes. But that is the form of mind that goes into the karmic nature. But the mistake you made is nothing because of your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. So the moment the condition falls into place, it will connect. Then after that, no more falling back. All the way up. That's why this type of understanding has been lost. It's only the higher beings who have this understanding. Okay? There are time. Yeah, better stop. Sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Then you all can do the transfer of merit and make your inspiration. Akasata Chio Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Cirang rakan tu loka sasana itta wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe dewa anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hantu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect, mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, all those that make the puja offering, they sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Since just now Ingbi wished me and my wife a good trip, I got something to share with you. I didn't even know this whole trip was almost free. Because when they helped me to book the ticket, I say how much I will reimburse. He said, no need, not much, he said, we will pay for it. Then when I was about to go, I said, how much money should I change? He said, no need, brother, bring pocket money. I said, why? He said, because the Filipino that we are going to visit, their company own the hotel. We stay in the 5-star hotel free. Wow. I said, transport? Also the company provide. So what do I bring? Pocket money. That's why I say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's why when you have the condition, your parami, things will be different. Then the other thing, just now I didn't answer finish, I said, because this era, there are a lot of great beings. The other aspect is, the true teaching is there. And this teaching, like the opening verse of the Mahayana Sutta, is very difficult to encounter. For 500 million of aeons or so, you may not encounter. That's why when you have the condition to have it, what must you do? You make the determination. Now that I see it, hear it, and I determine, to phantom the Tathagata's true teaching. And you somehow don't want to make aspiration and determine. I don't know what are you waiting for. Another of this window is going to be very long. It's not to say I'm trying to frighten you or discourage you. It's to remind you of the rareness of this window. You have that part of me, otherwise you cannot be here. It's like this night you ask yourself, through your affinity with the Triple Gem, not only with my nature, you have done a lot of part of me, you know not. And the Kayamita Fund has helped you all, did so much of this parami. And this is going to be your inheritance. And you will have this condition when the next sasana arise again. But then why you must wait for the next sasana to have the same condition to do all this again? You may not have those type of being that can have this understanding to guide you and show you. This is because of very special condition. Then when you have this condition, if you know how to determine and make the aspiration, then before the next asana, you would have perfected yourself beautifully. And when you come, you could be like me, teaching people, understand that? And creating all the conditions. That's how the Dhamma can become so beautiful. And you only need a few who have this understanding to come. Then this teaching will have its potency to really, really make a big difference to civilization and all those things. Okay? We end. Sadhu, sadhu. I don't know why today the sharing is so different. Maybe because I have to go to Manila.